Good afternoon. Today we're going to try to tear down the Iron Curtain. I think President Reagan told Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this iron wall.
Berlin Wall.
I'm testing to see if you're awake. Okay, so we're going to see if we can tear down the Iron Curtain. What Iron Curtain do we have? First of all, today is a very sad day. Five tragedies happened today. Moshe broke the luchos, right? The Tumid was canceled. The Romans broke through the city of Jerusalem. Apustum was the Greek general in the Maccabee days. He put a Salem in the Heichal, and he also burned the Sefer Torah. Five tragedies took place today. So it's a sad day. So do you mind if I tell you a sad joke? Yes, no, maybe? A sad joke for a sad day. This old sick guy went to a doctor. The old and sick guy went to the doctor. The doctor gave him a thorough examination. He said, sir, I have some very bad news for you. You have Alzheimer's disease and you also have cancer. So the old guy says, well, at least I don't have cancer.
That's a joke.
Tragic.
Well,
today we do something very strange that we never do. In the morning we read Parshas Kisiso. We're going to read again the same thing this afternoon at 7 o'clock. We read about the Chet HaEgel, but we do something very strange. We skip the reading. We start off with Perek Lamed Bet, where Moshe begs God to forgive the Jews for the Egel. And then the second Aliyah skips two chapters. From Perek Lamed Bet, we go all the way to Perek Lamed Dalet. We never do that in a Torah scroll. And here we do a Shiva Sabbatamos. We actually skip two chapters in a Torah scroll. The second Aliyah skips from Perek Lamed Bet to Perek Lamed Dalet. Why do we do that? Why do we skip? Why do we read the Parsha of the Egel? Because the Egel took place on Shiva Sabbatamos. One of the reasons that we fast today is because Moshe broke the luchos. Why did Moshe break the luchos? Because the Jews worshipped the Egel. So therefore, it's appropriate to read the Parsha of the Egel today twice, because the Egel took place today. Today is 40 days after Shavuos. Moshe came down 40 days later. After Shavuos, the Jews were worshipping a golden calf. He broke the luchos. So we read the Parsha of the Egel, but what's something strange is we skip the gory details. We read that Moshe begs Hashem, then we skip all the gory details, and we go to Psalachos. Now look at some of them. We go where Hashem says, Moshe, carve out two tablets of stone like the first. So if you are reading the Parsha of the Egel to remind the Jews, because today we worship the Egel, Shavuos Sabbatamos, why do you skip the actual sin? Why do you only read the aftermath, Rabbi Yaakov? Was there a Watergate going on over here? There seems to be a cover-up. We are covering up the Egel, which took place today. We're reading the after-effects. What's the after-effects? We're reading the tikkun for the Egel. What's the tikkun for the Egel? The second tablets.
Yeah.
The second tablet symbolizes a Jew always gets a second chance if he wants it. So today we worship the Egel. So why are you skipping? In a Torah scroll, it's unheard of. You're skipping reading. And you read the after effects and you skip all the ugly details of the Egel. What's the message? Why do we have Shavuos Sabbatamos and Tisha B'Av? Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam is when you're shaming another Jew. You're shaming him, you're putting him down. So to set the message, not to shame another Jew, we skip the ugly sin of the Egel. We only read the after effects. It's enough once a year we read the Egel. The Parsha Kisiso comes around. Don't have to hit the guy over their head. Not to shame the Yidden, not to embarrass them, not to humiliate them. We go so far as we censor not sense that we skip in the Torah scroll, unheard of, the actual sin, and we just read the tikkun. The message that the Chazal want to teach us is, you have to go out of your way not to shame another Jew. He did a sin, okay, you don't have to hit him over the head with it, you don't have to constantly remind him. If you want to repair the sin aschinam, don't rub the sin in his face. You could say it, if you read the after effects of the Egel, you know that he did the sin. It's a powerful message for the 3 weeks, which today kicks off the 3 weeks, that even when you're giving a person musar, you cannot do it in a mean way. It has to be done in a kind, gentle way. Otherwise, don't give musar at all. That we go so far as we skip the actual gory details of the Egel. You listen to today's reading, and we read the after effects, the tikkun. The message of Chazal is clear that even when a Jew does something wrong, you're supposed to be diplomatic about it. So much so that the Mishnah says, Nishtabnu haluchot, the Mishnah doesn't even mention that the Yidden worship the Egel. Why did Moshe break the luchot? The Mishnah says, you know why we fast today? Because Moshe broke the luchos. He broke the luchos. Why did he break the luchos? Why? The Egel. And the Mishnah covers it up. Powerful message for the 3 weeks. That how to handle a fellow Jew, even when he's doing something wrong, you have to use tact, you have to be diplomatic, and you have to look out for his kavod. To protect his dignity, the Mishnah doesn't even mention that we worship the Egel today. It just says Moshe broke the luchos. I'll put two and three together, why he broke the luchos. But again, the message is clear that the Chachamim want to make us sensitive. Judaism, in three words, is sensitivity to another Jew. I think it's four words. Sensitivity to another Jew, even when you're rebuking him, you have to do it with kindness and love, otherwise don't do it at all. Powerful message for the 3 weeks. There's an amazing verse in Psalm 51. L'natzeach mizbeh l'David, b'vo elav noson hanavi, kashebo el batsheva. The classic psalm of rebuke and tshuva is Psalm 51. L'matzeach mizal David, kesheboa elav nosen hanavi, kasheboa el Batsheva. Nosen hanavi came to rebuke David for sin in Batsheva. It says kasheboa el Batsheva. What does kasheboa el Batsheva mean? Kasha Boel Batsheva. Psalm 51, Rabbi Yaakov. You mind giving it to me? Perek Nun Aleph. Can I have it?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll find it. Thank you. Perek Nun Aleph. The classic, powerful message. I'll find it. Thank you. Psalm 51. Thank you. Yes. L'matzeach mizbeh l'David. B'voy elav nosen hanavi. Nathan the prophet came to rebuke David for having an affair with whom? Kasha Boel Batsheva. Nosra Novi came. What does Kasha Boel Batsheva mean?
When he came
to Batsheva. What do you mean when he came to Batsheva?
Relationship.
He came in the middle. Don't they say three is a crowd? He's disturbing them in Motel 6. Now, what does that mean? Kasha Boel Batsheva. The English translates, after King David came to Batsheva, then Nosson Hanavi came to rebuke him. But anyone who knows Ulpan, Hebrew, after he would say, Acha Boel Batsheva. Doesn't say, Nathan came Acha Boel Batsheva. After he had relations with Batsheva, it says, Kasha Boel Batsheva, which means... Kasha Boel means just like. Ask any Ulpan teacher. Rav Palmzatzal, my Rebbe, said, what does it mean? We think Nosson Hanavi came to rebuke King David. You know, Gudnik. You lowlife. How dare you do what you did? Wrong, wrong. Bevoy elav Nosson Hanavi, Kasha Boel Batsheva. Just like King David came to Batsheva. How did he come to get a date? Lovey-dovey. Otherwise, no date. That's exactly the way Nosan HaNavi came to rebuke King David. Just like David, that's what it says in the text. If you don't mean the English, that's what it says Hebrew. Kashebo Bathsheba, just like King David came to Bathsheba to get a date with her. How did he speak to her? Kuchish munchi, lovey dovey. That's exactly the way Nosan HaNavi came to rebuke King David. And Rav Tam Zatzal said, if you can't give rebuke that way, don't do it at all. Powerful message for the 3 weeks. You know good, Nick. You so-and-so. Yes. No, you're mixing up. That's Eliyahu HaNavi to Ahav. Don't mix me up. That's Eliyahu HaNavi to Ahav. To Ahav, right? But here, with the same sweetness and lovey talk, the way David came to get a date to Bathsheba, that's exactly the way Nosan HaNavi came to rebuke. And if you can't do it that way, don't do it at all. And that's why we skipped the Torah reading today twice. Incredible. The lady skipped in the Torah scroll. You skip the ugly details of the Chet HaEgel and you cut right to Psalacha, which is the Tikkun, which is the Kapara. A powerful message for the 3 weeks, how to relate to a fellow Jew, even though if he's not doing the right thing. Now, what's the tafkid of a tzom? Right? Zechariah tells us that Tzom HaRevi, today's Tzom HaRevi, the fast of the fourth month. April's not the fourth month. What's the fourth month? Tammuz, right? The Tzom HaChamishi and the fast of the fifth month. What's the fifth month? Av, not May. Yiel Asosan Ulasimcha, right? So the Navi calls it Tzom. Zechariah chapter 8. What's the root of the word Tzom? Tzadi Mem Hei, Tzama. Tzama means to braid together. Come together. The tafkid of a tzom is that we should unite. If we're all hungry and thirsty, we can feel each other's tzar. So the tafkid of a tzom, says Rav Soloveitchik, laso tzama, tzadi mem hei, to braid together, to come together, to unite. And this way we get rid of the sinas chinam that caused Shivos HaBetamuz and caused Tisha B'Av, of course. Now the Rambam says the tafkid of today's tzom, like all the fast, is to do tshuva. If you're not doing tshuva, you're just going on a diet, which is not bad to go on a diet, but you're missing the whole point. The tafkid of every fast, says Rambam, is what? Is tshuva. What's the connection between tshuva and a fast? Why can't you do tshuva? Bang your head against the wall. I mean, why is tshuva connected to what? Fasting. Madu avalama. That all fast, the tafkid is tshuva. We make a mistake, we think it's only Yom Kippur. The Rambam says, let me straighten you out about something. All the fast are the tafkid is tshuva. So what's the connection? So the Zohar says something amazing. The first sin that a human being ever committed, the first sin was eating when God said, don't eat that treifa tree. That tree is treif. So the first sin a human being ever committed was eating when God said what? Don't eat. So the Zohar says all sin flows from that first sin. If Adam and Chava would not have eaten from that treifa tree, no human being would ever do any other sin. Do you know that, Mr. Samuel? The Zohar says that. So you know why we're fasting for tshuva? We're going back to the future. Get it? Back to the future? The granddaddy of all sin is what? Eating when God said, don't eat. We all have the DNA of Adam and Chava, don't we? We all have a nitzos of their neshama. So every sin a person does goes back to that. I don't want to use the word original sin. but that sin when God said, don't eat. So by not eating, we are what?
Atoning.
We are atoning for what? For the granddaddy, for the source of all sin, which is eating when God said, don't eat that treifa tree. So this is the tikkun for the Eitz Hadas. All sin comes from that sin of the Eitz Hadas. So that's the connection, according to the Zohar, between what? between fasting and tshuva. Now, it's amazing, we're going to read again at 7 o'clock. I already davened mincha, I'm ahead of you. I know we're going to read because I heard it. I davened already. We're going to read something amazing. We're going to read not the gory details, we skip that. We shove it under the rug. We read the tikkun, and we read something amazing. That God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, after he gives him the second luchos, God tells him, I'm going to do something marvelous with you, Moses, that was never esen niflaot. Maze esen, loshen atid. Esen niflaot. You think splitting of the Red Sea was something? You think Matan Torah was something? Esen niflaot. I'm going to do something marvelous. Ashel nivro b'chol aretz. That was never created on the face of the earth. The Rabban is saying, I don't know, I checked over here, and I don't see anything. This is after Kriyas Yamsuf. Chet HaEgel is after Kriyas Yamsuf. It's after Matan, 40 days after Matan Torah. So God says, here, you think that was a trick? You think Matan Torah was something? You think splitting of the Red Sea was something? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to do something marvelous, which was not created in the entire earth. The Rabban says, what's God talking about? What's more spectacular than the splitting of the Red Sea or Matan Torah, Aaron? What? Right after this, Moshe comes down with the second tablets. His face has the Shekhinah on it. Remember Michelangelo? He drew horns? What does he know? He had beams of light, the Shekhinah on his face. Says the Ramban, that's what God is talking about. Say what? As in the floor, that was never done yet, somehow the Shekhinah on Moshe's face is more spectacular than Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah. The question is why? And that we only got after the Chet HaEgel. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we see that the Chet HaEgel became, the golden calf became what? Rabbi Yosef said, a golden opportunity. Say what? The golden calf, this gold, became a golden opportunity for tshuva. Then when the Jews did tshuva, we know the Gemara in Yuma, Peivov says, a person does tshuva, me'ahava, the Avera becomes what?
A mitzvah.
So says Rav Soloveitchik, you know what God is talking about? Since the Jews did tshuva for the Egel, I'm going to do something marvelous. You ain't seen nothing yet. What's that? Moshe comes down, the Shekhinah is on his face. Says the Ramban, why is that more marvelous? Kriyas Yamsuf was one night. One night. Matan Torah, how long did it take? Shavuos morning, 1 hour, 2 hours. How long did it take for God to speak the Ten Commandments? I don't know. How long did it take? 1 hour or 2? Here for 40 years, they saw the Shekhinah on Moshe's face. And Shekhinah medaberet b'toch shel Moshe. Shekhinah medaberet b'toch shel Moshe. This is said the Ramban. That goes with the shiny face. Matan Torah was one morning. Here for 40 years. When Moshe Rabbeinu opened up his mouth, whose voice did they hear? And who did they see? They saw the Shekhinah for 40 years. We make a mistake. When did Moses put on the mask? People make a mistake. When did he put the mask on? But he was teaching Torah to the Yidden? But he took out the garbage. He went to pay the bill at the post office. The text says when he was teaching Torah to the Yidden, he took the mask off. When he was washing the dishes, whatever, he put the mask on. But while he was teaching Torah to the Yidden, the mask was off. They all saw the Shekhinah. Not one morning. 40 years. And Shekhinah medaberet b'toch shel Moshe. Not one morning. 40 years they heard the Shekhinah. That they were only zoicha when? It's incredible. After the Chet HaEgel. The golden calf became a golden opportunity for tshuva. pretty amazing, huh? The power of tshuva. That's what we read this afternoon and morning. Not the terrible sin. That a person can become much greater after the sin. Asen the floor, listen to the reading this afternoon. You ain't seen nothing yet. Kriyas Yamsov Matan Torah. I'll show you something that makes those miracles pale by comparison. Seeing God, the Shekhinah on Moshe's face 40 years, when Moshe opened up his mouth, they heard the Shekhinah speaking to them. That they were only Zoicha, ironically, incredibly, only after the golden calf. Mind-boggling. The power of tshuva. The sin becomes a mitzvah. Yuma 86. And the Gemara Brachas 34. The place where Baal Tshuva stands, a goody two-shoes can never reach that level in Olam Haba. Never. This is what we read this afternoon. Now, how do we get rid of the iron curtain, right? Who said there is an iron curtain? Huh? Let's take a look here. Do you mind taking one, just passing it back? One for customer. Thank you very much. Okay, yeah. How do we get rid of the iron curtain? Who says there is an iron curtain? One to a customer, thank you. An amazing Gemara in Brachot. Thanks to Rabbi Yaakov Goldman, you have it. Gemara and Brachot. One paper. You see, it says a fourth statement, Rabbi Eliezer. On the lower left-hand side, it says a fourth statement by Rabbi Eliezer. You have that? Mr. Samuel, you have that? You want to read that? Do you mind? Miyom Shechara Bet HaMikdash. Everyone have a paper or look in with your neighbor? Can you look in with your neighbor, please? This way you bond together, right? Miyom Shechara Bet HaMikdash. From the day the temple was destroyed, Ninalu Sharei Tfilah. The heavenly gates were locked. What? Shenemar Gam Ki Ezak Vashaveya Shosan Tfilosi. It's a pasuk in Eicha. Though I would cry out and plead, God shut out my prayer. You hear? The Yafa Pisha Shari Tfila Ninalu, Shari Dima Loi Ninalu. The gates of tears are never locked. Shenemar, hear my prayer, Hashem, give ear to my outcry. My tears be not silent. It's a pasuk in what? It's a pasuk in Psalm. You can look in with your neighbor. This is what we have togetherness. Achdut. Come together. Right now. Sama. Lasot sama. Okay, now we get over here. The Gemara returns to Rabbi Eliezer's statement. You see that? The Gemara returns to Rabbi Eliezer's statement on the right side. With me? Yeah. Omer Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer. Miyoyim shechora beit ha-mikdash nifseka chomat barzel bein Yisrael aviyem shebashamayim. Since the day the temple was destroyed, a wall of iron has separated between us and what? And our Father in heaven. Shenemar, as it says in the book of Yechezkel, Va'ato kach lecho machbas barzel. V'nesata oysa kir barzel. Bein cho beino ir. God tells the prophet Yechezkel, take for yourself an iron pan and then place it as an iron wall between yourself and the city of Jerusalem. What is God telling Yechezkel? See footnote number 10? Footnote number 10, Yechezkel chapter 4. God commanded Yechezkel to create a symbolic Jerusalem by engraving the outline of the city on a clay brick. God ordered Yechezkel to place an iron griddle between himself and the brick, symbolizing an iron wall of separation between what? God and the city. So it's all over. We can go home now. Throw in the towel. That's it. What do you mean an iron wall? Why does the Gemara say an iron wall? Why not a stone wall? What's the message the Gemara is trying to tell me? There's no hope? Chas v'shalom. Huh? And then the Marsha faked Akasha. The Marsha, the bottom of footnote number 10, says, wait a minute. The Gemara Amsochim 85 says, see the footnote 10, the second paragraph, the Marsha, the Gemara Amsochim says that even an iron curtain is not a mechitza between us and our Father in heaven. So there seems to be what? What's all this business about iron? What's the message? What's the message? Why not stone? What's the Kir Barzel? The iron mechitza that God is telling to what? Is telling Yechezkel here to what? What's he talking about? The Jews are under a double siege. What's a little background over here? What's the historical significance over here? The city's being besieged. By whom? The Babylonians. They're besieging the city. And while they're besieging the city, who else is besieging the Jews? The Navi. The Navi, when is he getting this Nebuah? As the city is being surrounded these days. So Rav Soloveitchik said the city is under double siege by the Babylonians and also by the Navi. The iron wall represents the iron wall around the heart of the Jews. God doesn't create the iron wall. Who does? Our sins create the spiritual cholesterol. We block out Hashem and the Navi. So it's incredible. The Babylonians are battering the city at this time. At the same time, Yechezkel is what? Is battering to get through to the heart of the Yid. You know what's going on over here? It's incredible. It's surreal. While the Babylonians are battering the city, the Navi Yechezkel says it's still not too late. He is trying to break through the heart of the Jew to get through. Just like the enemy, the physical attack, the Navi must also conquer the hearts of the people, like the enemy is conquering the city. And just like the enemy didn't quit, the Babylonians kept hammering away at the city until he broke through. So the Navi don't quit. The Navi is not going to quit until he breaks through and reaches the hearts of the Jews. Rav Soloveitchik says each and every Jew, if he's honest with himself, has a Kir Barzel that's encasing his heart. Whether it's arrogance, pride, everyone knows what their personal Kir Barzel is, if you're honest with yourself. We read the Parsha of Bilam. Bilam was the classic Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, wasn't he? My Rebbe said, if you're really honest with yourself, every person is a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And if you don't admit that, you don't know yourself. Every person has a Kir Barzel around his heart. And he can't say Chatosi. He's too proud to admit that he's wrong. I'm wrong? You apologize. Who do you think you are? I'm going to call you? You good for nothing. I'm right, he's wrong. Every person has that personal Kir Barzel that he has to break through. And today is the day to begin. Got 3 weeks to do it. The Rav Soloveitchik said, but a person just can't. He's so set in his ways, he can't admit that he's wrong. He can't change. He said, I'm too set in my ways. Remember the amazing Gemara? Rav Meir had a Rebbe, Elisha ben Avua. He became a renegade. Became Nebuch, a deformed rabbi, Nebuch. A great sage. And he changed his name to Acher. So Rebbe Meir said, Rebbe, I beg you, do tshuva. Do tshuva, Rebbe. You're such a great sage. You don't have to be a deformed rabbi. You can once again become an authentic rabbi. So he said, I'm sorry, Meir. I heard the basko. Shuvu bonim chutz me'acher. God says all wayward children can be turned except Acher. I heard that basko. So therefore, what? It's too late for me. Said Rav Soloveitchik. Did Acher really hear that basko? He heard a basko. Shuvu bonim. Not chutz me'acher. What did he hear? Chutz me'acher. You don't have to remain Acher. What does Acher mean? The other one. You can once again be the great mayor. But he had a Kir Barzel around his heart. She here. Shuvu bonim chutz me'acher. You don't have to remain Acher. You can once again become the great Elisha ben Avua. But he had that Kir Barzel surrounding his heart. A person is sure of himself, he's smug. I'm immune, I have all the honors. It's never too late. Even if you think it's too late, no matter how thick the Kir Barzel is around a person's heart, don't give up. Just like the Navi didn't give up. Just like the Babylonians didn't give up. They kept battering until they broke the city wall. Yechezkel kept talking. If it didn't work then, it's going to work today. You see, there were millions of, the Gemara Megillah said there were millions of Nevi'im. Say what? Millions. How come only 48 are recorded, Toby? Because those millions of Nevi'im, they spoke for their time. The 48 Nevi'im in Tanakh are speaking to us. You think Yechezkel failed? He didn't fail, because he's breaking through with us. How many Balei Tshuvas today? What's happening today? Yechezkel didn't fail, because he's speaking to us. The millions of the Nevi'im spoke for their time. We don't even know who they are. We don't need to know. Yechezkel is speaking to us. He finally broke through. Like the Babylonians broke through the wall, he broke through. There never was a mass movement of tshuva like today. There never was as many Yidden studying Torah as there is today. Never! That's thanks to Yechezkel Hanovi, who kept pushing and battering until the Kir Barzel finally came down. Never give up. Just like the Babylonians didn't give up. They broke through the wall. So we cannot give up on any Jew. Oh, or on yourself. Yeah? The Kir Barzel. We have many Kir Barzels today. It's called Peace Now. It's called Thomas Friedman. It's called J Street, Nebuch. There are many Kir Barzels. But we have to keep pounding and we have to keep speaking the truth. Because every one of us has their own Kir Barzel. And the Navi keeps hammering away. Like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the great sage, he was an ignorant shepherd. He saw water dripping on a stone. Water can make a hole in a stone? What? After what? Many, many years. He keep dripping. What's it called? Chinese torture, I think? Rabbi Akiva, he saw the hole in the stone from the water. That was the catalyst that broke his Kir Barzel. He became the greatest sage that ever lived, even though he didn't know Aleph Beis until he was 40 years old. God is always sending us signals, but a lot of times we're not tuned in to the right channel. Rabbi Akiva saw the signal in the dripping water, the nonstop, and the erosion, never give up to break the Kir Barzel. And Rebbe Meir didn't give up on his Rebbe. Despite his Rebbe's Kir Barzel, he did break through. The Talmud says on his deathbed, Acher cried. A person on his deathbed can do tshuva. And Acher cried on his deathbed. And he did tshuva. Now, why the metaphor of iron? Why not stone? Because iron, unlike stone, if you heat up, iron is a great conductor of heat, yes? Stone is not, yes? Iron, unlike stone, is a great heat conductor. You heat up one end of the iron, it gets hot on the other end. What's the message of salvation? When the Navi is hot, when the Rebbe is hot, when you're hot, you're hot. Hot to trot. When you're hot and you're turned on and you're enthusiastic, you can warm up your students. Yiddish look behelze kennen sich. How do you say that in English?
Hard to know each other.
Devor, thank you, Toby. Devorim ayotzim in alev, nechnosim in alev. How do you say that in English? Devorim ayotzim in alev, nechnosim in alev. Words that come from the heart enter the heart. If the teacher is hot and sincere, he will make the students hot also. And they'll become enthusiastic about Torah. So now we see, is the iron curtain a punishment? Is it? Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's not an onus. It's an opportunity. It's a challenge for us to warm each other's hearts through chesed and havas chinam. How do you fight sinas chinam? Havas chinam. What does sinas chinam mean? Hatred? Chinam. No, English, Hebrew. Chinam. Free hatred. I gotta be free. Sinas chinam means free hatred. What do you mean free hatred? No. No one is crazy enough to hate someone with no reason. Even a Michigan a reason. Havas sinas chinam means, said Rabbuman Zatzal, you hate someone, but you get nothing in return, except a bad hair day. You hate someone, it's wasted energy. What do you get in return? He did something bad to you. By hating him, you're letting a guy that you don't like live inside your head, rent free. Rabbuman Zatzal, yeah? Hating a guy, you're letting him live inside your headspace for free. He doesn't pay you any rent. How do you evict him? Stop hating him, and you will evict him. Don't let him live inside your head for free and give you a bad hair day. You can evict him by stop hating him. Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik said, the iron curtain is not an einish. It's an opportunity, a challenge for us to warm each other's heart through chesed and ahavas chinam. And, you know, step by step, or yiddle by yiddle, that warmth will spread until eventually the iron wall will collapse and come down. Allowing the Jews to what? To get close to Hashem and bring the Mashiach. There's another amazing message of the iron wall. Why the Talmud says iron. Where do we see that again? In the end of Parshas Yisroi, there's a pasuk, when you build a mezbeach, loitivne esen gazit. You can't use an iron tool when you build the mezbeach. Right? You cannot use an iron tool when you build the mezbeach. Why can't you use an iron tool when you build a mizbeach? Why? Why? So Rashi says what? Oh, very good. So Rashi says as follows. Why can't you iron tool? Because a mizbeach nivra laharich yomim shel adam. The mizbeach was built to increase a person's lifespan. Through the karbonot to tshuva, a person gets more days. Barzel and iron was created to what? Shorten a person's life. What do you use barzel for? Weapons. So therefore, Rashi says, "Ein ze bedin shiyunaf hamekatcha marich." It's not right that the tool that shortens a person's life should be used on an instrument that lengthens a person's life. So that's why you can't use iron, the symbol of what? Warfare, on the Mizbeach, the symbol of what? Peace. But then Rashi gives the punchline. When Rashi brings two pshatim, you know that he always likes the second one. Achroin, achroin chaviv. Why does dessert come at the end of the meal? Saving the best for last. But you know, life is short, so I begin with dessert. Because you never know. But anyway, people save the best for last. So Rashi and Tosfot, when they bring two explanations, you should know which two they favor.
The last one.
So the last one is Mizbeach Matil Sholoim Ben Yisroel Avim Shabishamayim. The Mizbeach was meant to create peace between Israel and a father in heaven. So therefore, you cannot use an iron tool on it. So Rashi says, what do you mean? The stones care. The Mizbeach is made out of stones. Does the Mizbeach care what kind of tools you use on it? The Mizbeach doesn't, the stones don't know. So says Rashi, Ma'avonim she'enam royois, feloi shamois, feloi medabrois. Stones don't know anything. And yet, since they bring peace between what? Yidden and the Father in heaven, the Torah says, don't raise an iron tool on it. Hamatul sholem in ishli ishto, a human being that does have feelings. How much more do you have to go out of your way not to upset him? The stones are going to be upset that you use an iron tool on it. Says Rashi, get real. Stones care. It's a dugma, says Rashi. It's a dugma. You have a use from a stone, so don't use an iron tool. You have a use for a fellow Jew. How much more do you have to be sensitive to go out of your way not to upset him, not to shame him? If you have to be careful not to shame the stones, what do the stones know? It's a dugma. Who cares about stones? It's a dugma. It's we should sensitize ourselves. How we have to be careful not to shame, upset, or wrong another yid, says Rashi. That's the message of the Barzel. A human being who has feelings, alachas kama v'kama, you have to go out of your way not to upset him, not to shame him, not to humiliate him, and to give him kavod. Powerful message of what? Of the Barzel. So when will the iron wall come down? When we begin to treat each other with respect and dignity, the iron wall will come down and Mashiach will come. Parshas Balak is always read around Shivos HaBetamuz, always. There's an amazing Rashi in Parshas Balak. If you came just to see this, you wouldn't believe it. Rashi tells us, I think we read it yesterday, no? Yesterday when I was young. We read Parshas Balak yesterday. Rashi tells us that the Malach killed the donkey. The talking donkey, not Mr. Ed. Remember Mr. Ed? This was Mrs. Ed. Rashi says in Parshas Balak, chapter 22, that the Malach killed the talking donkey. So Rashi says, what do you want from the poor donkey? Why did the Malach kill the donkey? And the Rambam says, why spend so many psukim on a talking donkey? The Rambam says, you learn Sar Balachayim Osa Min HaTorah. How do you know you cannot torture and be cruel to an animal, says Rambam? The talking donkey. The Torah is not entertaining me. It's not the Ed Sullivan show. Chas v'shalom. Says the Rambam, the talking donkey in the Mor Nebuchim is to teach that Sar Balachayim is a serious offense in the Torah. To torture an animal is a serious aveira min haTorah. And there's halacha, if you have a pet, you can't sit down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner until what? You feed the pet first. Incredible. Great tzaddikim would buy a pet. Why? Nothing better to do. To do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah min haTorah to feed your animal before you eat, because otherwise he sees you eating, it's anguish. Look how sensitive the Torah is to the feeling of an animal. That God does this great miracle. He makes the donkey talk. Why are you beating me, you fool? It's forbidden to torture an animal. The Goyim have Eved Menachai. And we have Eved Menachai on top of that Tzar Balachayim. Akidei Kach, the Torah has to make a miracle with a talking donkey. And yet Rashi claims that after the incident, the Malach killed the donkey. Moshe, did you know that?
Yeah.
That's what Rashi says in chapter 22. The Malach killed the poor donkey. Says Rashi, you know why? Kidei Shelo Yomru Zua Atan. People shouldn't say that this is the donkey that ranked out Bilam. The donkey ranked him out. You fool. Says Rashi, this donkey would be on TV. And they all say this is the donkey that ranked out Bilam. Says Rashi, Shechas HaKodesh Baruch Hu Afil Al Kavod Rasha. Can you imagine? This wicked wild Bill Bilam. God was protecting his kavod. If the Malach wouldn't have killed this donkey, it would be on, what's it called, reality TV, right? This is the donkey that put Bilam to shame. Nye, 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 nye. The donkey ranked out Bilam. Bilam didn't answer. God said, I can't have that. I read you Rashi's words. Shechas HaKodesh Baruch Hu Afil Al Kavod Rasha. Eze Busha, this talking donkey. What's the message of Yaakov? We're not Bilam, Baruch Hashem. If God is concerned with the kavod of Arasha, Alachas Kama V'Kama, how we have to be concerned with the kavod of a fellow Yidl, not to shame him, not to cause him Agmas Nefesh. What a powerful Rashi over here. How we have to be careful. Who cares about Bilam? God cares about Bilam. Even, we don't care about Bilam, but if you care about a fellow Yid, a powerful message of Rashi during the 3 weeks, the Pasha's always read, Shivasa B'Tamos time, Shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Afil Al Kavod Rasha. It's Kolshken, how much we have to be careful not to insult, humiliate, mock a fellow Jew who's not Bilam. No matter how bad a Yid is, he's not Bilam. How we have to be kind and courteous to each other. That's the way to get rid of what? The Kir HaBarzel. What a powerful message. Why the poor donkey had to be killed. Just incredible. To sensitize us, to be more sensitive to a fellow Yid, before we open up our mouth and say something, we have to think. Am I going to hurt him? Am I going to upset him? Am I going to shame him? Because if he can't give Musar the way Nosson HaNavi gave Musar to King David, in a lovey-dovey way, don't do it. It's counterproductive, yes. So that's the Alachas Kama V'Kama. Madoch. How do you say Madoch in English?
How do you say what?
Madoch. Madoch, God is concerned with the kavod of that low-life Bilam. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more we have to be concerned with the kavod of what? A fellow Yidl. What a message for Shivasar
B'Tamuz. Fellow human beings.
What?
Fellow human beings, not just...
But certainly a Yid. You're right, every human being has a Tzelem Elohim. Adam and Chava were not Jewish. Was Abraham Jewish? Till he was 99, he wasn't Jewish. Noach wasn't. There's one person in the entire Chumash that's called a Tzaddik. There's one, remember that commercial, you don't have to be Levi's to eat. There's, remember that, I'm dating myself. You don't have to be Jewish to eat Levi's rye bread. There's one person in the entire Chumash that's called a tzaddik. Who is that? He's not even Jewish. Noach ish tzaddik tamim. One guy in the entire Chumash that's called a tzaddik. Noach. Not in the Chumash, my lady. That's in the prophet Hosea. I'm speaking in the Chumash. Before Hosea. One guy, entire Chumash is called a tzaddik. I'll give you a hint. He ain't Jewish. Noach is tzaddik. What's the message? You don't have to be Jewish to be a tzaddik. Keep the seven, go to heaven. That's for a non-Jew. We got to keep the 613 to go to heaven. But they have it much easier. Noach ish tzaddik, keep the seven, go to heaven. That's the message. Mizmor l'Asaf, Psalm 79. Asaf is singing. What's he singing? Bo goy v'nachosecha. The goyim have come into your inheritance, Hashem. They've defiled your temple. They've burned the temple. Asaf is singing. Take a pill and lie down. Mizmor l'Asaf, a grandson of Korach, Psalm 79. He's singing, God, the goyim have defiled your temple, destroyed and burned your temple. So Rashi says, why is he singing? Huh? Heat stroke? Mizmor kino l'Asaf. He should be wailing. Why is Asaf singing that the goyim have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Says Rashi in Psalm 79, there's a pasuk in Eicha, Kilo Hashem et chamoto. God has vented his fury. Ubamakila. Where did God channel his anger? There's a pasuk in Eicha 4, Vayatzeit Eish b'Tzion. A fire struck in Tzion. What is Tzion? The Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is called Tzion. Tzion means Mitzuyan. Achim Mitzuyan. Mizmor v'shir, says Rashi. Yes, Asaf is singing. Say what? He's singing Sheshofa Chamotoy al Eitzim v'Lavanim, that God poured out his anger on stone and wood, v'layosa klaya bebanav, and he did not destroy the Jewish people. You hear this? The destruction of the temple is our insurance policy that we will survive forever. God loved us enough to make himself homeless. God's been homeless for 2,000 years. But if that's what it takes to give us kapara, that's what God is willing to do. Look how much God loves us. He's willing to destroy his own house in order to what? Guarantee our survival. And therefore, we do something very strange on Tisha B'Av morning. After three weeks from today. Tisha B'Av morning, we do not put on tefillin, we sit on the floor. When did the temple burst into flames? Tisha B'Av afternoon. Isn't it bizarre that at the very moment when the temple burst into flames, we get up off the floor and put on tefillin? Why do we lighten up our velut at the exact moment when the temple burst into flame? That's when we should increase our velut. It's Olam Hafuch Ro'iti. You know what that means? How do you say, not a cafe, hafuch? I'm thinking about coffee. Cafe hafuch? Olam hafuch, at the exact moment, Tisha B'Av afternoon, that the Gemara says in Tainus, we learned it today, Aaron, the temple bursts into flames in the afternoon. That's exactly when we lighten up the morning. The Avelut. We get up off the floor, we greet each other, and we put on towels and tefillin. Say what? That's when we should increase the mourning. Why do we do Moshe Kapoya, Toby? Because before the temple burst into flames, there was a real chance, Nebuch, that the Yidden wouldn't survive. When the Jews saw the temple burst into flames, what did they do? Phew! Get up off the floor and put on tefillin. If God is willing to destroy his own house, that's a guarantee that we are going to survive forever. The temple's destruction is the insurance policy that the Yidden will survive forever. Therefore, Mizmor l'Asaf. Asaf is singing. When the temple is destroyed, this guaranteed Jewish survival. But one of my Talmidot asked me a good takasha. She doesn't understand, she says. God had to destroy his house to guarantee our survival? Didn't God promise Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, look in the Chumash, over and over again, that we are an eternal people? This was hundreds of years before there ever was a temple, Rabbi Yaakov. God promised Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that we are eternal people. Unlike the Assyrians, unlike the Babylonians, unlike the Phoenicians, unlike the Egyptians or the Persians. Where are they today? 60 feet of sand. The Persians and Paras today, they're not the Persians. The Egyptians are the Egyptians? The Phoenicians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, where are they? The Greeks, where are they? Ask any anthropologist. They're under 60 feet of sand. 60 feet. God told Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that your people will be forever and eternal. So my Talmida asked me, a bomb kasha from bomb land, God already what, Mr. Samuels? He promised the three superstars that we are an eternal people, unlike the Phoenicians. So why did God have to destroy his temple to guarantee our survival? Is that a bomb kasha? But I was prepared. You know what I told her? Yes. God guaranteed Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that we're an eternal people. But we could have been a people like the Aborigines. How many Nobel Prizes did they win? The Aborigines? They've been around for a long time. How many science awards did they win? A Nobel Prize or what else prize for what? Chemistry, whatever, physics, not too many. The Jewish people are the envy of the entire world. How come the Ubangis or the Atrinians, they don't want to go to Gaza? Or why don't they want to go to Tehran? Why do they all, the Ivory Coast, why don't they want to go to our peace partners in where? In Amman. Why do they all want to come here? Why, Reb Moshe? Why are we the envy of the entire world? A leader in medicine, high-tech, science. It's amazing. We take it for granted. We are flourishing. The world economy is in a recession. The entire world, and there is Stanley Fisher. He's like Yosef HaTzadik, who are Mashbir. Stanley Fisher. Huh? The entire world, a recession. Israel is not affected. You think that's a coinky dinky? What a miracle! That's because God destroyed his house. Are we worthy to have such schusim? The envy of the entire world, doctor. In every field, medicine, high tech, science, the envy of the world in every category. That's normal? Do we realize the miracle? Well, do we deserve it?
No.
God is doing it because he was willing, like a parent will sacrifice to make a child great. Kaviyoko, our Father in heaven sacrificed, he destroyed his own house to give us all of these awesome privileges, to demonstrate how much he loves us. It's hard to put ourselves in mourning. We never knew a temple, right? And how can I mourn for something that I never had, Aaron? You have to mourn for the temple. We haven't had a temple close to 2,000 years. How can I mourn for something that I never had? So you have to imagine, how would you feel if your parents became homeless because of your misconduct? How would you feel? Because of my betrayal, my father and mother are homeless now. That's exactly what happened. Because we betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made himself homeless to forgive us. That's what we have to think about during these 3 weeks. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. That he's homeless. Kaviyochol, he says so. To guarantee our survival. Who's the most rejected figure in the Bible? Who?
Hashem.
It's just amazing. The Medrash says Before God came to give us the Torah, he went shopping. The Medrash says, he went shopping to the UN and the EU, Mr. Samuels, and they all said no. Imagine being rejected 70 times. 70 times, 70 nations. Yeah. He finally came to the Yidden. He says, Yidden, I got something good for you. So what's the first question a Jew asks? How much does it cost? So God said, it's free. So we said, we'll take two. He gave us the written and the oral Torah. It's not a joke. If it's free, we'll take two. Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebalpeh. That's why we got two Torahs, Toby. It's not a joke. Now, didn't God know he's going to be rejected 70 times? Why did he go to them?
To give them a chance.
What's the message for us in the year 2012? What's God teaching us? If at first you don't succeed, try again. You're rejected? Don't let it get you down. God was rejected 70 times. Did he give up?
No.
He came to us. Look how much he loves us. He's willing to write about himself that he was rejected to give us chizuk. How do you say that in English? Right. So people turn you down. They turn you down again. Don't give up. Eventually you'll break through. Eventually you'll break through the Kir Barzel. Like the Navi broke through. Like the Babylonians broke through. You have to be persistent. You can't give up. You're rejected once, twice. God was rejected 70 times. He didn't give up to give us chizuk. Look how much he loves us. That he's willing to write about himself that he was rejected to demonstrate that a person should not be too hard on himself. A person should never give up if at first you don't succeed. Great millionaires will tell you that they failed many times. And if they didn't fail, they'd still be a copy boy in the coat room somewhere. And because they failed, this gave them the what? What's the word? Oomph? To go on their own, not to remain in the copy room as a copy boy or what? What's it called? I think a gopher. Powerful message. Powerful message. Now, the Navi goes on here in Psalm, Bo goyim v'nachlosecho. The goyim have come into your inheritance. Here the Beis HaMikdash in Jerusalem is called what? Nachlosecho, God's inheritance. If you look in Echa chapter 5, there Yirmiyahu, God tells him Jerusalem is Nachloseinu. Jerusalem is what? Our inheritance. And here, Psalm 79, the psalmist calls Jerusalem, God, it's your inheritance. And Echa, it's our inheritance. What's it all about? So it's incredible Rambam. The Rambam says that Kiddusha Shlomo Batla, the Kiddush of Shloim HaMelech in the Bayis Rishon, that became cancelled. But Kiddushas Ezra of the Second Temple, Loi Batla, was never cancelled. Therefore, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he is speaking about the Churban Bayis Rishon. He calls it Nachloseinu. He calls it what? Our inheritance. Our inheritance? Yes, because the Rambam says Kiddusha Shloimoi Bayis Rishon was destroyed. The Kiddusha of Yushalayim was cancelled, says Rambam. So therefore, Yirmiyahu, speaking about Churban Bayis Rishon, calls Jerusalem what? Our inheritance. But Asaf is speaking of Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, that's Nachlosecha. That's God's inheritance. Why? So the Rambam explains, because Kiddusha Shloimoi, that was David HaMelech conquered Jerusalem through war. You conquered Jerusalem through war. Babel came and what? And we conquered Jerusalem. So war versus war. David conquered Jerusalem. When the Babylonians reconquered it, they cancel David's Kedusha, says Rambam. War versus war. But Kedushas Ezra of the Second Temple wasn't through war. It was through what? Settlements. Say what? Hillary Clinton's coming. I don't want to upset her. The Rambam says that war can cancel a war. David's war was canceled by the Babylonians' war. So therefore, the first temple, Yirmiyahu says, it's our inheritance, no Kedusha. But the second temple, says Rambam, Nachlo Secho, that's your inheritance, God. Because the second temple was not, Yerushalayim was not conquered through war like David. How was the second temple built in Yerushalayim? Settler. Ezra didn't go to war, unlike David. It was what? Settlements. Hillary Clinton, settlements. Kedushas Ezra was through settlements. Settling the land. That's Nachlosecho. That's God's inheritance. When we settle the land, it becomes God's inheritance. Oh, God's inheritance. God tells the prophet Yechezkel, Loi lamanchem ani oseh, ki im l'shem kotshi. God says, I have to protect my holy name. Jerusalem is my eternal city. You are my eternal people. I have to look out for my good name, Hashem says. Therefore, Mizmar Lasaf. We and God are in the same boat. God has to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. His good name is at stake. He says so in Psalm 79, in Yechezkel 36. Loi lamanchem, not for your sake I do it. Kim l'shem kachi, my holy name. Hashem links his honor and his destiny to us. We're in the same boat. Hashem has to protect his investment. What's his investment? Us! And that's only through settlements. Because a war can cancel a war. The Babylonian war canceled King David's war. Kaput, says Rambam. But Ezra didn't go to war. He sanctified Israel through settlements. Look at the book of Ezra. That is forever, says Rambam. Therefore, it's not Nachloseinu. It's Nachlosecho. What a powerful message. No coinky-dinky. Hillary Clinton's coming this week. We gotta tell it like it is. And pull no punches. We have nothing to be ashamed of. If we speak the truth, Hillary will respect us. But we have to speak the truth. And not to be afraid to tell it like it is.